Good Friday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic, the reporter Nick Keiser here with you. Hope it is a fantastic day for you so far here on this Friday. I woke up this morning and immediately it hit me it was Friday, and we're going into a long weekend.
Woo,
so that's
we
even
are.
Better. So, yes, Nick Keiser, Junior Riddle will be holding it down 9 to noon on Monday. So, good job. Have fun with it.
So, I did something.
You did something. Don't screw it up, okay?
I don't think it'll be that bad, right?
No, it'll be fine.
Oh, I was like, what'd you do? Wow, that just went over my head. But long it's weekend. Okay. We're excited. Also, the perk of them doing the show on Monday, 9 to noon, you get to sleep in, guys. Not a 6 a.m. or anything. And also, I get to sleep in, which I'm very happy about.
Yes, sleeping in. That will be good for sure. So, yeah, have a happy and safe weekend. I mean, it took me – usually it takes me like 25, 30 minutes to get to work this morning. I flew in. Then nobody was out because school's out. Mm-hmm. And
a lot of half days today for people at work.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people – some people even have today off. Like, I mean, I know some people just take today off or, you know, whatever. I mean, we
– Memorial Day weekend is
the post-COVID world.
Yeah, post-COVID world, just hybrid day. Memorial Day weekend, I think, is – such an underrated great holiday too, because not only for what it stands for and all of that, but just a side, it's really the kickoff of the summer, I feel like. You know, it's the kickoff into summer vacation. You think of when you're a kid in school and everything, and it'll be a nice little reset weekend, and then it'll be June, and we have a month and a half till like SEC Media Days coming here to Nashville, till training camp. We obviously have the NHL Awards and the NHL Draft here at the end of June. So some fun events.
Ally 400.
I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff in the quote-unquote dead sports season.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff that we're going to be a part of, and we'll tell you more about our draft coverage as we get a little bit closer with the awards and the draft, so looking forward to that. But, you know, looking forward to – this is vacation season. You know, Robbie's been on vacation this week. I saw he posted on Twitter last night, he and his wife Heather, and they're, of course, expecting. And mm-hmm. That was like their last – I guess now we use the term baby moon. Is that like a thing? Like that
– Oh, okay.
It's like the last vacation before the baby's born.
Yeah,
essentially.
And he released the name on Twitter, Allison Reese. What a
a
beautiful name.
Love that.
Yeah, I guess baby moon.
I saw some people like have commented with that, and I've heard that term before, and I'm like, okay, this is obviously I'm not in that stage of life, so
same.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, I don't know, but yeah, so looking forward to having Rob back on Monday.
Tuesday.
thanks to Adam Vingan for doing a great job this week filling in with Joe Rexrode, and kudos to you to keeping that on the rails. So that was good.
It was a struggle, but we had fun. We enjoyed the week. It was good to see Adam again. But yeah, I know Joe and is happy that he does not have to be sitting in mic one, and Robbie can be the point. Robbie can go back to being the point guard of our show in guiding it, because Joe and I quite often get off the rails on the show.
Yeah, no, that was good. Yeah, point guard brings it up the floor and does a good job distributing. So, we've talked a lot about the Titans, and with OTAs going on, I mean, there's going to be different things that come out. But now we're in list season, you know, and this came out yesterday. We didn't really get into it. The other shows did, but I definitely wanted to touch on it. Bill Barnwell, who I enjoy his work for ESPN, wrote an article for ESPN Plus and basically ranking the best and worst 2023 NFL offseasons, which team improved. And he starts with 32 and goes all the way up to 1. And when I read this, I was a little surprised. I was very surprised because he had the Titans dead last. Mm-hmm. He had the Titans having the worst offseason of any NFL team. And I was like, I mean, what? Really? We're going to say it was the worst. And basically, he goes through, you know, what went right and, you know, getting out of some of those contracts that they had, signing Brunskill, Aziz Alshire, Arden Key to deals that were very team-friendly, Peter Skoronski trading up to get Will Levis. So he liked those. But I felt like everything that he didn't like was centered around the fact that they didn't get rid of Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, which I continue to hear that narrative And I mean, I've been saying and you've been saying that I thought they'd both be back. It still feels like that everybody's shipping Ryan Tannehill out this year. I don't believe that's going to be the case at all. And so I don't know why we're still hung up on this. I mean, this team can still be, with this schedule, I think pretty decent with the defense and the fact that they have Tannehill and Henry at the helm.
I agree. And, you know, I think I can understand why Barnwell put them, I mean, maybe not last, but I can understand his reasoning for why they were so low. And it's because you don't really know the direction of the team. When you draft a rookie quarterback, you assume, okay, that is you trending towards a rebuild. But based off of the guys that they still have on their roster, like a Ryan Tannehill, like a Derrick Henry, the defense, the way it's constructed, I mean, and the strength of their schedule that they're playing this year, they're going to win games. They're not going to be a team that is 2-15 or 4-13. Did I do that math right? 4-13? Yeah, 5-12, whatever. So, you know, I
was told there'd be no math. So
I get their reasoning. I know, I was trying to do that in my head quick. I get their reasoning as to, okay, why you're going to put them so low. Because we talk so often in football and professional sports, you don't like to be in that middle phase. You don't like to be in the phase where, okay, you're winning, you're a little bit above 500 each year, and then you won't be in good draft position, but you're not in a full-blown Super Bowl go-for-it year. And that kind of is where this Tennessee team is right now, because you do have a Ryan Tannehill, you do have a Derrick Henry. I mentioned the defense, but at the same time, you drafted a young quarterback, and you drafted a young running back in the second and the third round, and you just don't know which way this team is going. But I think to rank them last?
Yeah, I can't agree with that.
Because I look at the offensive line moves, and I really like the moves they made. And then along with drafting Peter Skoronski, right, wide receiver, different story. But, you know, I look at this line and I think it's gotten better.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like the team as a whole, can you say they got better or can you say they got worse? I mean, it is tough to answer that question because they didn't really do anything at wide receiver. They did at offensive line. You cannot argue with me at all that the offensive line is not better. The offensive line is absolutely better. How much better? I don't know. But it is definitely better. And, you know, they have some pieces that can play multiple positions, i.e. Dillard and Skoronski. You know, Brunskill, I think, is a guard for sure. You know, but Petit Frere can move over. I mean, there's some versatility there. Obviously, you know, they can do that pretty much throughout that offensive line. Which I think is really good. Receiver they didn't address. Secondary is still a question. Now, I do think you could say that maybe they lost a little with Bud Dupree, but he was healthy half the time. So to sit here and say 32nd, I can't agree with that. He had Los Angeles Rams 31st, Raiders 30th. See, I don't even know if I agree with that. I mean, is that just based on Derek Carr for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Who, it came out yesterday that, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo just had foot surgery, and they think he's going to be ready for training camp.
I think that's almost a wash. The Giants, I mean, this is an interesting list, and it's a good read. And like I said, I like Bill Barnwell's work. You know,
I think a lot of it is subjective, too.
It's so subjective.
Of how is your team constructed? You know, what pieces do you need to get and what is in the draft this year? I mean, we talked about this year how it wasn't a receiver-heavy draft. So, you know, how much does that play into it? We talked about also how the free agency market for wide receiver wasn't great either. So I think it's clear that that played into the Tennessee Titans not drafting and or going to get a big splash move at free agency and wide receiver, because there really wasn't anyone to go and get and make that big move other than OBJ. But you're not going to give somebody coming off two ACL tears I think he's making like 15 up to 18 million a year for a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
And he probably wouldn't come here. He's going to a team like Baltimore, who's already a, you know, a playoff team. You have an elite quarterback. So, you know, how much is it situational? Like, what more could they have done? And people are going to say receiver. Okay, I get it in the draft, but I mean, when you look at this offseason, they pretty much overhauled the entire offensive line.
615-737-1025 is our text line and phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David says, I think we're better, but the Jags look much more improved, and that may mask our improvements. I think that's an interesting take. But the Jags are going to have to play a first-place schedule, and the Titans are not. So how much improved are the Jags? Now, the receiving core, I think I saw ESPN put this, like the receiving core of all four AFC South teams, like mm-hmm. which one would you take? Like the top three receivers. And
I mean, it's Jags.
It's got to be the Jags. I mean, they're adding Ridley. Like Calvin Ridley, to me, is going to be good.
100% the Jags. I mean, the Houston Texans, I don't recognize really any of those names other than Robert Woods, and you already tried that out last year. So I actually would look at the Houston Texans receiving core and this one, put them pretty comparable. You obviously have Michael Pittman Jr. in Indy, but I mean, Jags by far for me.
All right, our question of the day, and I like this. You put this in.
It's a fun little question.
Because there's something on Monday other than Memorial Day. And by the way, thank you to those who served and obviously gave the ultimate sacrifice mm-hmm. that we will be remembering on Monday. That is what this weekend is about. You know, when you're out at the lake or the pool or grilling out or whatever, you know, take a moment to reflect because I think we all have somebody that we can relate to that we lost. Yeah. In combat, and so again, for those of you that are still serving and giving us the weekend off, we appreciate you and we thank you.
Celebration but of life.
It is also your birthday on Monday, and so the question of the day that you have put out there, your most memorable birthday. We put this on Twitter, so you can tweet at us at 1025 The Game, at Chase on Game, and at Michelle Knezov on our Twitter. I got it right that time, didn't I?
K-N-E-Z-O-V.
Yeah, there you go. You can do that, or you can text in 615-737-1025. I will give mine later in the show because immediately it came to me of this was the one. And I, to give you some foreshadowing, I met someone that day that I didn't even realize
you met
what that meant.
Ooh.
That's a tease for you. But coming up next, continuing this discussion on did the Titans really have the worst offseason in the NFL? We'll look at the position groups and just simply say better or worse. That's next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063 The Game. Join 1025, 1063 The Game on June 6th. For the night before Charity Writers Round featuring Saving Abel, benefiting Souls for Souls. It's the night before our golf tournament. Really looking forward to this. General admission is just $20 with every ticket going to purchase a new pair of shoes for a child experiencing homelessness in Middle Tennessee. It's happening at the brand new venue, the Ballad East, next to the Gallatin Hotel in East Nashville. Doors will open at 6 o'clock, and you can get your tickets now at thegamenashville.com/golf. So really excited about everything we're doing for Souls for Souls. Got a cool celebrity lineup for the golf tournament. Saving Abel going to play this event. And we got some awesome silent auction items that are available too. So very, very cool thing that we're doing and happy to do it. Broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Got some answers coming in for best birthdays.
It's going off the rails a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, when you got... Never mind.
Let's keep it PG-13.
You know, so I'm gonna give a lesson to the people. I'm gonna take my own lesson. You know what you do when you want to put a fire out? You take away the oxygen, and then it goes away. And so that's what we need to do for some people that are on the Twitter. But we'll get to those in a second for sure. But and Ricky, I'm not talking about you because you just made me laugh. But Titans, and did they have the worst offseason ever, you know, this year? And I say we go through the position groups and say, okay, did that position group get better mm-hmm. or worse? Let's start with quarterback. I would contend that it got better.
I agree.
Because you drafted a guy in the second round. Now, there's a lot of question marks. You don't know what he's going to be in the NFL. But the other part of that is you have to assume that Malik Willis got better in the offseason. And Ryan Tannehill appears to be healthy.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a pretty easy one. Got better. You look at the type of prospect you got in Will Levis. He was a guy who was viewed as a first rounder. He dropped. You had to move up to get him. But the value of that pick, I think, is really, really high. And I mean, we've talked about the rookie contracts. His is significantly lower than all the first round quarterbacks. So, you know, although, yes, you moved up, you're not paying him as much. And it could be a deal that you can figure out sooner than later. If you want to keep him, the fifth year option, all of that. I think that that's an easy one. That group got better.
Yeah, for sure. Now running back. Running back to me, I could almost say is a wash, so to speak, because you know you have Derrick Henry. I mean, Hassan Haskins, you hope is going to be better. Tajay Spears is supposed to be kind of your Dontrell Hilliard, but, you know, you do have questions about the knee and the health and everything. You know, there's some other guys that are in camp, and we'll see how – I mean, I think if they don't keep a fullback, they're probably going to keep four running backs. I had to guess.
Yeah, question mark – oh, my goodness. Running back is a question for me. Obviously, you mentioned Derrick Henry. Dontrell Hilliard was a huge factor offensively for this team last year prior to him getting hurt. I mean, what's the stat I love throwing out there? It's he had the most receiving touchdowns for this core last year up until – you know, he ended up getting injured and wasn't able to be a factor towards the end of the season. You don't have him on your roster. You mentioned Tajay Spears. He was very electric at Tulane, but there is that question mark. He still is a rookie. The injuries. I'm going to give that one a wash. And also Hassan Haskins. We didn't see much from him last year. I mean, I thought we saw more from Juliet Chestnut, who I thought
was that who it was at the – I was trying to think who it was at the end of the year.
Yeah, who, I mean, I think outplayed him from what we saw, but obviously used a pretty – high draft pick on Hassan Haskins. So what can he be from year one to year two? And we mentioned Tajay Spears. He looked good out there, but what does it all look like when everything is put together?
Right. So, I mean, that one is certainly something you have to look at. Wide receiver, they got worse. I don't know how to say otherwise there. I mean, even losing Robert Woods, to me, they got worse. You know, looking back on that now, I don't know. I mean, maybe they had this conversation with him. I do wish that maybe they had figured out how to restructure that contract to bring him back, because there were times where I thought he did show you what they were looking for, and that was when Treylon Burks was healthy. When they were both on the field at the same time, it made it very hard for defenses. But you didn't address the position. Kyle Phillips is a question mark. Can he stay healthy? Treylon Burks you think is going to take a step forward. But you still have – you're asking more of Nick Westbrook-Akina that maybe you should. And then beyond that, you don't really know what you have. So I can't say – I have to say they got worse.
I'm not going to say they got worse. I'm going to say it stayed the same for me. I look at Robert Woods, and I think he was a guy coming off an ACL. He was an older guy. You were paying him quite a bit of money. He was ineffective for you last year, point blank. Ineffective. I don't think he, you know, helped this wide receiver core get better. And based off what I saw from Treylon Burks in the small time in OTAs, based off his press conferences, just seeing his confidence, I think that, you know, you've seen that he is ready to take on the challenge, that he can be that guy. And a lot of me saying this is having faith in Treylon Burks and that he can play 17 games and be healthy. But I don't look at this group and think automatically they're worse. I look at it as, okay, I just feel pretty much the same about it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
a hard one, though.
I'm going to stick with what I said. And then tight end is hard, too, because I almost – the only reason I say it almost stayed the same because it's – I don't know about some of the guys they brought in. And – I do, you know, think Chigakonkwo is going to take a step forward. I think he's going to be better. But Austin Hooper had production, especially in the second half of the season. And you didn't bring him back. You let him sign with the Raiders, I believe. And so, I mean, you could make an argument for worse. You could make an argument for staying the same. That one's tough.
Yeah, that one's tough, too. I mean, if you look at Austin Hooper's stats from last year, it was 41 receptions, 444 yards, averaged about 11 yards a possession, and then two touchdowns. I thought his production was high, but I think if you give Chig the opportunity that Austin Hooper got last year, I mean, we were vying for Chig. I think that kind of same page as wide receiver, if you believe that, you know, Chigakonkwo can take that next huge step, like you believe Treylon Burks can take that next huge step, I think that he could have more production than an Austin Hooper. And then you hope that the rookie in Wiley can be kind of what Chig was last year. So that one is still, I'm going to say stay the same until now.
Okay, we can say this one at the same time. Offensive line, better. Absolutely.
We hope.
Got better. Yeah, I mean.
I think it's fair to say it has. We've had the conversation of, okay, did it actually get better? Because we saw what they had, and they did have Ben Jones, who was an anchor on this team, a guy who is going to be a big loss. But I think if you look at the, first off, you know, the Peter Skoronski, the guys they got, Dillard, Brunskill in free agency, it's clear that, you know, they really put an emphasis on making upgrades at that position.
So how we're going to do defense is, I'm going to say defensive line, meaning the front, because they play multiple defenses.
Yeah.
Outside linebacker, inside linebacker is how we'll kind of differentiate that.
Okay.
So D-line, I honestly think it stayed the same. There was no changes, really. I mean, you're going to have Autry and Jeff Simmons and Tier Tart. Now, I mean, you can make an argument for some of the depth, like a Walker that you bring up.
Edwards,
that they're not here anymore. So you can – I'm a little concerned about the depth that they have there. And the Tier Tart thing, too, of not signing his tender. I checked on that a little bit more, and that's a weird rule. Like, technically, I guess he could still be signed by somebody else.
Yeah, so that was something we kind of mentioned yesterday. And we did confirm that he has not signed his tender yet. He was at OTAs.
He signed a waiver that allows him to go to OTAs, essentially.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's clear he wants to be a part of this team. But if he got a contract from somebody, I mean, there is still that option for him to not be on this team.
Right. So, I would say right now, the defensive front stayed about the same. Now, you can I would hope it's going to be better because Jeff's going to be healthy.
Jeff and Nico. I mean, because Nico had that knee, that knee issue kind of in the middle of the season. But, I mean, I would agree with that. My only concern is that, you know, Jeff Simmons still was doing some individual things in OTAs this week, and you would hope that he's fully back now, but he still has a little ways to go before training camp.
We'll say outside pass rush, however you want to clarify that. Lean better because Landry's going to be back. I mean, that's kind of the big thing there. Rashard Weaver is going to be a year older. You know, last year was basically his rookie year because he missed his rookie year. So you hope that he's going to be improved. You've added Arden Key, but you've taken Bud Dupree away. So is that a true wash, or are we going to see that Bud Dupree's really going to be missed?
I mean, you look at, I think, Bud Dupree's ceiling, I think it's fair to say, at the peak of his career, is higher than some of the players that you've mentioned. But at the point of his career he was at last year, I mean, the hip injury coming off the ACL, when he was on the field and he was performing at a high level, he was great. But you can't have that inconsistency. And I think at this position, you're going to get more of that consistency this year. And it's going to be not as big of a drop-off when a guy like Harold Landry isn't out there, right? I feel like when we didn't see Bud Dupree in there, there was just a bigger drop-off last year in not having him out there.
Real quick, because Tim Hasselbeck going to join us here in just a few minutes from ESPN. Usually on the midday show, but doing a special hit with us today, so we'll talk to him. Let's just say the secondary as a whole, so we'll include safety and corner all in a group. I think they stayed about the same.
I'm going to give them a slight edge better. I like seeing that Elijah Molden is back feeling good. You know, Christian Fulton, we saw that he was, you know, working with a hamstring specialist. You hope that he comes back. I don't think that he'll get that second contract just based off some of the stuff. But
no, and if he's holding out right now, that's a bad play by him.
And Roger McCreary, second year. Amani Hooker, right? Can he be a full year guy out there? So I'm going to say better on that front.
Yeah, I can't go that far. I'm going to say stayed about the same right now because there's still a lot of question marks with that. Kicker, they got worse. Punter stayed the same. Return game, we have no idea.
So question mark.
That is the quick way to put it. Coming up next, we'll talk to ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, get his thoughts on the Titans offseason from this perspective. I haven't gotten to talk to him in a while, and you've never gotten to talk to him. So it'll be fun to do that. Coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, hanging out with you and very excited to say hello to my best friend. It's been so long. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us now. Tim, what's up, my friend?
Hey, Tim.
What's up, man? Hi. It has been a long time since I've been on with you guys. I mean, big time to me. You know, left me with Caroline Willie and D-Mace. You know, I mean,
I knew you were in good hands. You know, they're good people, and you know, you and D-Mace can have your little banter back and forth, the quarterback and receiver, which is always good. Willie's the voice of reason, and I feel like Caroline has done a nice job. So, you know, I know you're in good hands.
I am. I enjoy being on with those guys. They are good, but happy to be on with you guys today.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing that. So I know, you know, we've been talking about Bill Barnwell's article and on ESPN.com and the Titans having the worst offseason. And I, you know, I like Bill's work a lot, but I disagree with it because I think that, you know, yes, there are still some holes to fill. Wide receiver probably being the biggest one that they have, but I do believe that there are some position groups where maybe they got better, maybe they stayed the same. But how do you view that as a whole of him having them as the 32nd team in his ranking?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of having them as a 32nd team, I mean, could you look at Tampa and say, like, well, wait, what have they done to get
right.
better? You know, you could look at, I'm sure you could look at Arizona, who's going to start their season without their quarterback and be like, well, you know, what's going on there? So, I think you could even a team like, Las Vegas, who, last year looked like they were all in. And then this year you're wondering, like, wait a second, is this a total reboot? So, I think in terms of that stuff, when you make a list, you got to put somebody last. And so I get all that. Now, in terms of, you know, what I think about the Titans, look, I really feel like, the concerns about receiver, I think, are fair. And, you know, along with the concerns at receiver, you have to say, okay, well, like, this is also a team that has got a quarterback who it seems like at least the people here locally have kind of turned on. The organization has drafted a quarterback in the third round and then the second round in consecutive years. And so, I think just like the wonder of what's that going to look like, I think all of that is fair. And then I would just kind of add on top of it, I think the Kevin Byard situation is, at least to me, a little bit puzzling from the standpoint of, I think he's a guy that's played at a really high level. Last year was forced to, you know, play a bunch on special teams, which he probably shouldn't be doing at this point in his career. They've asked him to take a pay cut. He basically, you know, probably knowing that the market out there for him would be strong, is staring him down on it. And so I just think that those types of things, if you're making a list, those are going to stick out to you, and I can see why you'd be down near the bottom.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. So, as you know, and I've heard them ask you about this on Caroline Willie and D-Mace, now with Will Levis in the fold, there's three quarterbacks in the room right now. What does that mean for Malik Willis? The NFL passed the third quarterback rule, but he has to be on the 53-man roster.
Mm-hmm.
So it got me thinking, and you're the perfect person to ask this to, because – you know, I think you benefited from playing in NFL Europe, which
no
was
doubt.
Kind mm-hmm. of the development league at the time. You played with Berlin. And I have been a big proponent of one of these spring leagues working a deal with the NFL where teams could basically assign a guy to go get those game reps. And Malik Willis, mm-hmm. to me, is just a prime example of somebody that would really benefit from that. So do you think that the – him being on the 53 and getting to practice, like, that would be beneficial, or trying to figure something like that out where he's going to get actual game reps?
Well, here's what I think. I think the fact that you could not have an emergency like third quarterback dressed, right, to not count against your game day actives. I think that enticed teams to carry two quarterbacks and then put another guy on the practice squad. And, you know, while that's, you know, better than just carrying two quarterbacks in general, there is definitely a different feeling when you're a guy that's on the practice squad versus when you're a guy in the 53. There's also a different feeling when you're in your uniform on a Sunday and you know that there's a chance you could end up getting in the game. So I just think even from a mental aspect, not even like the experience of playing, just the experience of that process, I think is good for young quarterbacks that are still developing. You know, in terms of getting the game reps and stuff, and look, I clearly benefited from NFL Europe. I would not have an NFL career if the Philadelphia Eagles didn't sign me and allocate me to NFL Europe. And you could say a similar thing for guys like Jake Delhomme or Kurt Warner or, you know, other guys like that. And so now, you know, like back then you also had, you know, four, depending on if your team played in the Hall of Fame game, maybe five preseason games. You don't have that anymore. And so I do think for somebody like Malik Willis, like getting snaps matters. You know, finding a way to get on the field matters. And I think that, you know, this is one of the things that you look about. I'd be really surprised if he wasn't on the 53. At the same time, you know, you have a quarterback you draft in the second round, you're going to probably give a lot of reps to in the preseason. And so what that means is you have to find opportunities. And look, I would say I don't disagree with you in terms of having opportunities to play outside of the structure of the NFL.
Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN joins us right now. Tim, taking a look at the rookie quarterbacks in the AFC South specifically, you know, Will mm-hmm. Levis here in Tennessee, you've got CJ Stroud with the Texans and Anthony Richardson with the Indianapolis Colts. Who do you think, just looking at their situations right now, May 26th, who do you think is set up for the best success?
I think it's Stroud, and I say that for a couple of reasons. Brand new coaching staff has a runway, and I think that the expectations there, I wouldn't say low, but like for a guy that was drafted, you know, second overall, and going to an environment where a head coach is probably going to at least have 4 years to be there, I think that matters. Versus, you know, when you look at Anthony Richardson, that's a very different scenario. Let me back up too. And Stroud has a bunch of experience. So mm-hmm. I also think that that helps him. Richardson, we're talking 13 starts, going to a team that really underachieved the past couple of years. I don't think he's really that ready. Chris Ballard has been there for a while. And I think that, look, I think some of, you know, the security for Ballard, I think, is very different than, you know, the scenario in Houston. And so, look, if you said one guy is more likely to have success than the other, I would go Stroud. And then in terms of Levis, I just would say this, like, you know, Ryan Tannehill is scheduled to be the starter. If he plays well, then the Titans are going to be in a really unique situation where, you know, Ryan Tannehill is probably a candidate to get extended in that environment, more so than they are to say, all right, hey, thanks for a great few years. You played well in 2023, but now we're just turning this over to a second round pick from last year. Like, the path to play for Will Levis is something that, you know, I don't think is, you know, all that certain.
So, okay, let's hone in on that, Tim, because I think it's a really interesting perspective, because I think it's so easy for a lot of us to say, oh, well, Will Levis will be the starter in 2024. Mm-hmm. But, you mm-hmm. know, what if Ryan Tannehill stays healthy? They're over 500. They win the division, which I think is still very possible for this team. You know, how likely do you think it is that, you know, Ryan Tannehill does get a contract extension? And then on the flip side, for Will Levis, a second round pick who doesn't have that fifth year option.
Yeah. And so that's a great point, because you're going to want to get him on the field. Here's what I would say about that. Like, that I think ends up being really interesting is, look at the first six games of the season. And, you know, so to say, like what are the possibilities or whatever? Look, I think it's a 50-50. Like, I mean, I think that's really – and that's why I think that the Titans' quarterback situation 23-24 is as interesting as anybody's in the NFL. I don't know that it's getting, you know, the attention that it probably should. And maybe it's because Aaron Rodgers moved, you know, teams and all that. But if you look at the Titans' first six games, and so here we go. So at New Orleans, Los Angeles Chargers, Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals, Indianapolis Colts, and Baltimore Ravens. That gets you to your bye week seven. And I think that when you look at that, and we sit here at this time of year, look, that could be 2-4. That could be 4-2. You know, I mean, and so I think the first six games are going to say everything, because you have a bye and then you play the Atlanta Falcons. And if they're 2-4 and Ryan's just, you know, not playing great, then that's such an easy spot for a move. And now you get evaluation time on Will Levis. If he plays well, they're 4-2, you're not making a quarterback change. And now at that point, it's like, all right, there's momentum building that, hey, listen, Ryan, like, look at how long guys play. Ryan's a very physically talented guy. He's not that old. Like, wait, he can still play, and here we go. So I think the first six games say everything about the quarterback situation for the Titans in terms of how it impacts 2024.
And, Tim, quickly, just the new offensive coordinator, Tim Kelly, he spoke earlier this week, and Chigakonkwo, second-year tight end, he said that, you know, one of the biggest changes in this offense is that Tim Kelly is, you know, they're using fewer words to describe a play call, and the communication is a lot more efficient. In your career, you know, how much did you see, you know, using whether it be smaller words or just more efficient communication helps than executing on the field?
Listen, I think one of the things that, especially if, you know, you've been outside the NFL, like you see is some of these offenses get so wordy, and they're so concerned with like telling everybody what to do on every single play. And, you know, and I think when you do that, like there's just, while you think it might be easier, there's just stress put on, especially the quarterback when you do that. I think making guys understand concepts better and being able to communicate things quicker, that allows you to run your typical offense where you're huddling up and you go to a normal pace, but it also allows you to change things up and speed it up and be able to access things quickly. I think that's really important. And I'm a big fan of Tim Kelly's. You know, I think he's kind of in a unique situation with how things happened in Houston. I think as a young coach that has a lot of respect around the league, and honestly, a guy that I could see with a pretty strong upward trajectory in the profession, college or pro, I think it's actually a pretty exciting time for him and an opportunity for him with a personnel grouping that, you know, the league, you know, I mean, Chase talking about Bill Bardenwell's article, like people aren't viewing their talent as being, you know, kind of top tier in the NFL. I could see him having success. And if that were the case, him being a hot name going forward.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. I wanted to hit you on a few other things real quick. To me, I feel like the NFC North could be one of the tougher divisions to figure out this year of who, what team exactly is going to win that thing. You agree or disagree?
No, I agree, because it's like, well, what are these teams? Is Chicago going to be good or not? You know, like, well, it seems like they're better. The quarterback's going to be better, but like, how much better are they going to be? Like, I mean, they didn't really have a pass rusher. You know, Green Bay, look, they're restarting at quarterback. Jordan Love might not be good. You know, Minnesota, I think, is sneaky good. And Kirk Cousins, for everyone hating him, you know, it seems like he knows how to play the position. He's, I mean, a lot of people would trade quarterback production in Minnesota for what they currently have. And then Detroit, you know, it seems like they've got this momentum, you know, like this rally around Dan Campbell, his style. And then Jared Goff, who I think is just 28 years old, look at the production Jared Goff had last year. I mean, he had one of his best seasons. And so, yeah, I think there's an element to that division where, like, is there another division in football where you could say, I think any of the four teams could win it? Like, I don't know if you can, and that definitely is the case in the NFC North.
What other division would you say is kind of in that category?
Well, I think the NFC West is interesting because, yeah. Look, the team that everyone thinks is the best, like, might have Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback. You know,
and, which that intrigues me, Tim. I mean, with Shanahan, like, I mean, could he find something in him?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that he could find something in him. Like, he's a really talented guy. I mean, you just think of the guys that when they've played for Kyle, who maybe aren't amazing players, have played well. Like, I don't care if it's been C.J. Beathard or if it's been Nick Mullins or Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, guys play well with Kyle Shanahan. I mean, look at even when he was in Cleveland. You know, he was getting good production out of those quarterbacks. So I think that's interesting. At the same time, you know, we're talking about their starter being the guy who was Mr. Irrelevant a year ago, who's coming off of a major elbow surgery, which is uncommon for quarterbacks. And then Seattle, look, they just find a way to just be competitive. You know, Arizona's not going to have their quarterback for the first half of the year, but what do they turn into? And then the Rams are probably on a reboot. So, like, that one's interesting to me. You know, the NFC East, I feel like, is always interesting. Obviously, Philadelphia seems to be the best team, but there certainly is hope around the division. But to say, like, in terms of something at wide open, I mean, that's why I feel like the NFC North is definitely the division that fits that bill.
Well, it's good to talk to you, my friend. Thanks so much for doing a little extra this week. Good insight, and we will do this again soon.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, great to be on with you. See you guys. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Yeah.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. You can usually hear him on Caroline Willie and D-Mays Tuesdays at noon. Sometimes it moves around with his TV schedule because he's all over ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
But appreciate him taking the time to join us. And Tim has been one of those regulars on this radio station basically since the beginning, so always appreciate that. We'll react to some of those things that you heard coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight with coverage beginning at 6:20 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds will take on the Iowa Cubs, the iCubs, AAA affiliate of the Chicago Cubs, and they'll finish that series this weekend on Saturday with pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35, and then a 2:05 first pitch on Sunday. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Really appreciate Tim Hasselbeck for joining us in the last segment. Again, usually a part of Caroline Willie and D-Mace, but we go way back and wanted to have him on and get some insight there. And a lot of interesting stuff with the Titans,
mm-hmm.
because Tim, you know, I mean, Tim played quarterback in this league. His brother obviously played quarterback in this league, and so getting his insight on what the Titans have right now with the three on their roster is interesting to me.
Yeah, I thought that was extremely interesting, just the way he also views all the rookie quarterbacks. And honestly, the biggest takeaway and something that I've found to be something that I want to focus on and look at this season is the comments earlier this week, and I brought them up a couple times, about how is this offense getting faster? And I think it was Chigakonkwo who told us earlier this week, you know, they're fixing the communication and they're trying to make things simpler. And to get Tim Hasselbeck's just thoughts on that and him saying, you know, sometimes people try to explain a play and it's a full sentence and trying to tell every single person what to do rather than just understanding a concept and then having one specific word, like the communication. And I think it's clear by some of the comments that, I mean, we talked about the play calling from Todd Downing. Was that a communication issue? Was that there's too many words? It's too wordy for players out there, and the execution and just everything that went into that offense. And I think, first off, it's clear the players are excited about it. And then to get his perspective on how that can be more effective when you have just short, quick, and everybody's on the same page of what the concept is and what's happening. I mean, I think that's going to be a huge key. And then also his endorsement of Tim Kelly.
Yeah. Well, and he's been a fan of Tim Kelly, and I know that's come up a lot. When the Titans hired him, mm-hmm. I remember Tim, you know, when I was doing the midday show at the time, said he loved that hire and thought that was going to be really good for the Titans. They tried to hire him, you know, or wanted to talk to him a few years ago, and the Texans blocked it. So certainly interesting for sure, and, you know, look forward to maybe some other chats with Tim throughout the summer and all of that. But coming up next, we're going to dive into hockey. With the Predators, with Dallas surviving last night, I'm done picking hockey games. there's no more bandwagons. There's nothing. Like, we're just going to talk about them. But the question on the Predators and where are they at with next year and with John Hines, Elliot Friedman commented on that yesterday. You'll hear that next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.